I've got the distinct pleasure of having Rosanna Tavala here, and she is the clinical data manager within this Adelaide Central Local Health Network based at the Basil Herzl Institute for Translational Health Research. She's responsible for establishing a data infrastructure to enable more effective monitoring of cardiac outcomes and to provide benchmarking of cardiac clinical care in South Australia. Most noteworthy is the achievement she's established, the Coronary Angiogram Database of South Australia, for short, CADOSA, CADOSA, alongside Professor John Beltram, who we had the pleasure of having a conversation with yesterday. But she's got some other current focuses, and I thought that we should be talking about this because I think one of the things that we forget is that cardiac is the number one killer, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And the other, Rosanna, I was at a birthday lunch yesterday, and then one of the guests wasn't feeling well. And you know, before, you know, there were a number of doctors in the room, et cetera, and it ended up being the person was fine. But we can suddenly become unwell very quickly, and cardiac is the thing that, you know, we all talk about cancer and lots of other things, but cardiac is the thing that's probably the first step.
It certainly is. It still is, even, you know, in this day and age, the number one sort of killer in Australia worldwide, and a really big cause of morbidity, so really affecting patients' ability to live a normal life because of symptoms and a bit and the fear of, you know, is my heart, am I going to die one day with a heart attack?
And I think that the other thing is that we don't realise it is also a really predominantly close to the number one killer for women.
Absolutely. It is the number one cause of death and mortality, not far behind from, would you believe it, dementia and Alzheimer's disease for women now. So they're very close.
Wow. Because we always think about cancer as being the thing that's going to kill
you. Absolutely. And particularly for young women who sort of have the focused on cancer, breast cancer, you're more likely to suffer a heart attack at a sort of, you know, a woman in the age of the 40 and 50s is more likely to have a heart problem than a breast cancer, which many women don't realise.
No, and nor do they really check about their heart, do they?
Absolutely.
Because there's been talk in the papers today about this idea of monitoring your heart for risk so that you can actually manage these things better.
And prevent that, you know, getting to a heart attack down the track. So prevention is certainly better than cure, but it's not on many women's radar to look after their heart.
No. And I think that one of the things that everybody thinks about is that the first thing, for you to look after your heart, the first thing you're going to do is be told to eat. You've got your cholesterol drops and all the rest. It's much more complicated than that.
Yes and no. I like to always keep things down, keep things simple. Let's bring it right down to basics. Diet is really important, and cholesterol, things like blood pressure, living a, you know, healthy, active
happy
lifestyle, happiness. We know that depression and heart disease are very closely linked. Sort of also, if you've got a family history, if you've got a young male or female in your family that has had some heart problems, it's probably not a bad idea to have a check yourself.
And to be regular about having it checked, isn't it?
Absolutely.
CADOSA.
Yes.
I mean, I love the way that medicos and the medical research area all come up with these fabulous initials and shortenings and then tongue-tied into these long extrapolated words. What does it mean?
So what it stands for is Coronary Angiogram Database of South Australia, as you said in my introduction. And really what it's looking at are patients that come into our hospitals that have a specialised heart test called a coronary angiogram. Basically, it's an X-ray test of the heart.
An X-ray.
Basically, but it's a bit more complex than that.
Sure.
We stick tubes in your groin or your arm.
And put it up to dye.
And push it up into the heart, insert a dye, and we look at beautiful pictures of your heart on the screen. Would you believe in South Australia we do 6,000 to 7,000 of these procedures every year in our public hospitals? So it's a huge number of tests, but it's also the best test that we have available at the moment to diagnose and to identify the best treatments for heart disease.
So is it that do you tend to find, so I would assume there's a number of ways that someone would need to have this procedure, that you've been to your doctor, referred you to a cardiologist, mm-hmm. and who is worried about some symptoms, mm-hmm. or some conditions, and maybe an arrhythmia, or also the heart's not pumping mm-hmm. as fast. So he recommends that this test be done. or you may be admitted by ambulance and into emergency and they think, oh, we better, it might be that way.
Absolutely.
Or third, maybe you've already had the heart attack or you've got something else and then you're monitoring what the effects have been.
That's right. Absolutely. So it could be prearranged with your doctor who's a bit concerned about some symptoms, some chest pain or some shortness of breath that may sound like it's coming from your heart. And they want to diagnose any problems that may be in the arteries or in the valves or in the heart muscle itself. Or it might be in an emergency situation where you've come through the emergency department with a heart attack and we need to get you diagnosed and treated as quick as possible. Cool. Because as soon as that heart muscle starts to die, we really want to be restoring blood flow back to the heart as quick as possible.
And that is really the thing, isn't it? When muscle is starting to die, it's because blood is not going to that muscle.
That's right.
And that muscle then becomes shrinking and that's the same whether it be any muscle in our body. But the heart, obviously, without the heart pumping, the rest of us doesn't
pump. That's right.
So how did you become interested in this particular area of research and how did you come to be this data management area?
It's to be honest, this all sort of happened by accident for me. I have to say.
I've got to say, this is a really common thread in all my guests in terms of these areas. Oh, that was an accident waiting to happen.
It really was. But to be honest, I'm so grateful that I've come into this area because I'm in an area where I have an opportunity to really make a difference to the care that we're providing to patients and their subsequent outcomes. So I finished my studies and I really didn't know what I was going to do with my science degree. You know, I couldn't become a teacher or I couldn't become a lawyer. And I thought, what else can I do? And I was really interested I'd always loved research. And I thought, let me talk to some researchers around the universities and see what other studies I can do. And I had a list of lecturers and other clinicians that I was meeting. And at the bottom of my list, just by chance, was Professor John Beltrami at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And I met with him and he offered me a project looking at patients that have angiograms and basically looking at following up their health and see how they go once they're discharged home. And from there, we sort of grew the CADOSA project over about 5 or 6 years to what it is today.
How extraordinary. But you're also involved in something else called MINOCA.
MINOCA. MINOCA. It's another acronym that we formed.
Of course you did, because it wouldn't be a research project without it. Myocardial infraction with non-obstructive coronary artery disease.
So that's a mouthful, but it really what it is, it's heart attack without heart blockages, which sounds
it's
paradoxical.
Actually quite unique.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of the other things, isn't it? That when you actually, it's because most people think, well, we all assume, and certainly medicine did for a long time, that in order to have had a heart attack, you'd had to have a blockage.
Yes.
But if you don't have a blockage, you still may have had a heart attack, that's much more difficult.
That's
to
right.
Actually understand and measure and that sort of thing.
That's right. So I guess the one of the great things about cardiology is that we have the angiogram test available to diagnose problems with the heart. And the key thing that we look for is blockages. If we see a blockage, we know how to treat it. We can give the patient a balloon or a stent or perhaps open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. But for patients that have had a heart attack and their angiogram shows no blockages whatsoever, we don't know how to treat them because there is nothing to stent. There are no blockages to treat. And so the CADOSA project has enabled us to put a spotlight on these patients because we've captured them in our database and we've been able to say, hey, you know, this isn't as uncommon as what we think. It's probably 1 in 10 heart attack presentations have this subtype of heart attack. And at the moment, we don't know how to treat it. And that's what we're trying to do with our other research projects.
This could sound really odd, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because when it comes to medical stuff, I think that no question is weird. When they've had the patients had the heart attack and there is no blockage, could there have been a blockage that actually in itself repaired?
You know what? It's actually not entirely as strange as what it sounds. It certainly is possible. So when a patient has a heart attack, particularly if they're in a country area or a remote area, they're not very close by to a major Adelaide hospital, the doctors will prescribe very strong drugs that will basically remove any clots that potentially...
Thin it through. That's right.
Thin the blood and potentially dissolve any clots. So by the time that patients come down to one of the major Adelaide hospitals, the clot may have already been dissolved from these very strong drugs that have been prescribed. So it's a possibility, but we don't think it explains everybody in this situation.
Because you'd certainly think that there might have been some after effects that you would be able to see in an angiogram if that were the case.
That's right.
It's not like it just suddenly disappears.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, this is fascinating. So how did then your other thing, Minocca, come to be?
So really this was something that John had been interested in for many years, and he recognised that these patients were coming into hospital, no blockages, heart attack, and he really thought we need to give these patients a label. So he came up with the new Minocca because it's as a patient, you want to know, I've had a heart attack. But what's wrong with
me? And also, so, patients like to know, they'd like to have a label for what they've got.
That's right.
And what is the way to fix it.
That's right. So by giving them a label, we're giving these patients some sort of diagnosis or identity. It was the first step. And then from our perspective, giving them a label in our scientific community allows us to study them in groups and to sort of share information about them and to learn more about how these patients are different from normal heart attack presentations.
Rosa, you said that, you know, after you finished your science degree, you really didn't know, you know, what I was going to do. And you've ended up here 6-7 years later. One of the exciting things about science and about research is that you have absolutely no idea where the road may lead.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then while there may be many dead ends, there are also some amazing roads that end up being the size of parklands and huge opportunities, and one little bit added to somebody else's one little bit miles away, different countries, different hemispheres, can actually change a population.
Absolutely. And Minocca is a really good example of that, because it was John's focus on these patients that got the attention of other groups around the world and said, hey, we should really get together and study these patients collectively around the world, which has led us to one of our trials that the foundation are funding us to do now to try and find a treatment for Minocca patients. And it really only came about from us labelling the patients, as I said, and other groups catching on to this and saying, I see these patients in my hospital as well.
Oh, and I don't know what to do with them.
That's
either.
Right. Yep.
Yes. And so that began. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. It has been always, I mean, we're finishing up middle of March and the football season's starting, but I have met so many interesting researchers. It's been absolutely phenomenal what we do. And we really forget that it is really here in South Australia. We have done some groundbreaking stuff and still are doing it. And, you know, this time next year when we're talking to you all, anything is possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The sky's the limit. I think we're in a great Adelaide's a great place for medical research because it's small enough for us to collaborate locally among different groups, but we have a lot of great minds here in Adelaide, particularly in heart disease. And I have to say I'm very blessed to work with Professor Beltrami because it's giving me the opportunity to really make an impact on patients living with heart disease and how we can make their lives better.
Couldn't have said it better. Thank you so much, Rosanna.